Hi guys, and welcome back to the Rugby Player Podcast, Season 2, 2021. We are live and ready to go. Episode 1, we have Adam Ash from the LA Giltinis. Adam is a Scottish native who spent most of his career with the Glasgow Warriors, earning a few caps for the Scottish national team along the way. It was awesome to catch up with Adam on all things Giltinis rugby, MLR. They're kicking off this weekend, as well as some awesome stuff that he's doing away from the field with Pure Sports CBD. We've had his business partner, Grayson Hart, on the pod recently, and it was awesome just to hear how things are going with them and his journey to the States. I hope you enjoy.
Awesome. Well, mate, thanks for joining me on the pod. You're guest number one for 2021, so appreciate your time.
No, no problem at all. Happy to go on. I know we spoke about it ages ago when we kind of touched base on Instagram. Must have been probably 6 months ago. But no, look, happy to come on and hopefully, people enjoy listening.
Absolutely. Well, I think when we first initially started in those chats, you were keeping things pretty close to the chest. It might have been when you were in negotiations for your current role with the Giltinis. So all good, mate. But awesome to have you on. I guess first things first, how are you enjoying LA?
It's awesome. Enjoying it so far. I mean, to be honest, we've not actually spent a massive amount of time in LA. We first came, I just had to go to Bermuda for 2 weeks to get all the visa processing done with a bunch of other guys that were coming in from Europe, and then came to LA, stayed here for a little bit of time, and then we flew over to Hawaii and Maui for a sort of 4 week training camp. So a lot of the guys were actually already over there by the time we arrived. So we had a 4 week camp for most of the guys. We were there for about three, and it was fantastic to be over there. I mean, what a place to be doing a pre-season training camp, amazing weather, literally living right on the beach in these beachfront condos, which was pretty cool. And it was an amazing opportunity for the team to sort of bond and stuff as well, just because there wasn't too much COVID going on out there. So that was pretty cool. We're now back in California. We're in a place that's about 60 miles north of LA, a place called Oxnard. So we're here. We've been here for 10 days. We've got about another 10 days here. And then after we're finished here, we should be able to get settled in LA. So everyone's sort of just going through the process of locking in accommodation, apartments, houses, etc. So yeah, we've been sort of living out of a suitcase for the best part of 6 weeks now. So I think everybody's looking forward to getting settled.
Yeah, fair enough. Mate, call a spade a spade here, but between Bermuda, Hawaii and now California... Mate, you've probably seen more sun in the last 6 weeks than you have your entire life before that in Scotland. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I've been enjoying it. I'm not complaining one slight bit. It's been lovely. And obviously back in the UK at the moment, things are quite messy with COVID and everybody's still kind of locked down and working from home and that type of thing. So, yeah, middle of winter. So I was glad to get out of there, and I've been to some pretty beautiful places with some cracking weather over the last month or two. So it's been great. And things are only warming up here, I guess, as well. Coming into spring now, there's been a little bit of a temperature change in the last few days, which has been nice. So it's certainly warming up. So yeah, buzzing to be here.
Mate, that's great. Well, we're certainly going to dive into all that stuff with Giltinis and how you're going with them at the moment. But I want to throw it way back to how everything started for you, mate, with rugby. Honestly, go back as far as you want, but the resume to the age grade stuff and then going into the Glasgow Warriors and getting an international cap for Scotland, mate, there's plenty to talk about. So wherever you want to start, just give us a quick intro and fire away.
Yeah, sounds good. Do you want me just to do a kind of an intro to who I am?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, my name's Adam Ash. I'm from Scotland and played most of my career at the Glasgow Warriors. I'm now playing at the LA Giltinis, and 27 years old and looking forward to getting stuck into the MLR season, which is starting this weekend. So yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, so where rugby sort of began for me was rugby was actually the first sport that I played when I was a kid, so my dad took me along to my local rugby club, which was Hillfoots Rugby Football Club, which was a mile along the road from where I grew up as a kid. So that was when we were, myself and my older brother, I would have been about six and he was probably nearly eight. And I just remember the mornings and running about in the frost and just loving it. You know, that was where I kind of met a lot of my mates that I went through school with. And what's been quite cool to see is, you know, a couple of those guys have pushed on to do some pretty cool things in rugby. So that was really my sort of first memories in rugby. And then I ended up stopping when I was about 10 and went in to sort of play various different sports like football, like soccer, you know, like swimming, athletics, golf, all these types of things. I kind of just followed my older brother because he was, he was kind of just leading the way and I just followed on. So it wasn't until I got into high school, so I was about 13, where I actually got back into rugby properly. And that was through one of the PE teachers at school who ran the rugby team. He pretty much came up to me one day and he looked at me and he said, "You're far too big to be playing football, you need to be playing rugby." So that sort of inspired me to go along to the rugby training. And yeah, just sort of played a few games for school. And the funny thing was that although I hadn't played for a few years, like I hadn't really forgotten, you know, how to do the basic skills and that type of thing. So got back into it pretty quickly and then went to join there's a sort of bigger rugby team that play about 8 miles away from where I was growing up called Stirling County Rugby Club. So yep. I went along there. There was a few guys from school that were playing there too. And that was when I was sort of 14, 15 years old. And that was where I sort of developed my game to a point where I was sort of ready to sort of step into the sort of more sort of professional setup. Like I kind of went from Stirling County to Glasgow Warriors, but in amongst all that, played some representative rugby for Scotland under 17, Scotland under 18s, and then teens. Was fortunate enough to get an email from one of the academy coaches at Glasgow Warriors saying that, you know, they'd love to have me involved in the academy. And that was where the kind of 2 years after school had sort of led me to. And then sort of in that 2 year academy contract, ended up playing a bit of sevens, played on the circuit for a year, and then played for Scotland under 20s. And yeah, that's kind of my journey up until sort of starting professional rugby.
Yeah, right. Mate, was it sort of a natural progression into the representative stuff, or was that something that you really started to pursue once you sort of figured out that you were getting better than everyone else?
Yeah, I guess like when I got to probably 15 or 16 years old, that was at the point where I was like, right, I fancy sort of pursuing this. Like it'd be a really cool thing to play for Scotland and represent Scotland. And that's regardless of whether it was for the under-17s level or the first team or whatever. There was actually a guy who was a couple of years older than me who went to the same high school who had represented Scotland under-17s. And I remember thinking it was just like the coolest thing ever. Yeah. And that really like inspired me to want to do that. So that sort of happened. And then once that happened, yeah, I remember kind of feeling like, you know, I wanted to push on and if I was able to play rugby at a decent level, like it wasn't the kind of thing where I had it set in mind that I wanted to play professional rugby. It almost sort of organically happened and one thing sort of just led to the next. Like, I remember actually being in the under-18s program and man, this like, there's a coach who was involved at the time that I just, you know, I didn't enjoy working with him at all. Like, he was just like kind of, just a hard coach, like a tough guy. He just wouldn't give you any love and he was just constantly kind of shooting players down. And at that age, like, I think, I don't know if he'd sort of singled me out to be somebody that, you know, he wanted to kind of pick on. But I remember that year being particularly difficult and I almost at some points I was thinking, man, I don't know if I want to continue with this. But fortunately, coming through that year, although that guy had given me a hard time, one of the other selectors who was involved in, you know, bringing guys into the academies in Scotland, Glasgow and Edinburgh, he seemed to like me. So it worked out well, and I ended up in the academy. So yeah, it was sort of organic, and I knew roughly what direction I was heading in, but I wouldn't say there was any sort of like obsession or like, you know, real like crazy drive to get to the next level.
Yeah, right. And I mean, you mentioned earlier on about the younger age grade stuff that you played with some guys that have kicked on. Were there any guys in the Scotland 17s or 18s that you played with that are household names now?
Yeah, there's quite a few. So like one guy who I played with, who was actually at the Hillfoots Rugby Club and then went to Stirling County and then pushed on, there's a guy called Jamie Batty, who he's a loose head prop. He's probably played maybe like 15 or 20 caps for Scotland now. He was at Glasgow, then he went to Edinburgh, and he's now down at Bath now. But he's been, me and him kind of played together from sort of 10 years old. He didn't push through until a little bit later. He ended up leaving school and then worked for 3 or 4 years, and really, like, he grafted properly hard to sort of get his foot in the door, and he ended up getting an academy contract at like 21, 22. And then, yeah, he's just been killing it since then. So he's done really well. In the under 18s and 20s program, we had guys like Scott Steele, who's now sort of playing regularly for Scotland. Tommy Allen, who he's playing for Italy. Well, he's playing his rugby in Italy and has played probably 40 or 50 caps for the Italian team now. Who else have we got? Those guys were probably the main ones, like Johnny Gray.
Yeah.
He's obviously doing pretty well. And yeah, guys like him, there's a bunch of guys that came through. Like some guys went to play in France, other guys Italy, and then some guys were playing sort of top flight club rugby in the UK. So yeah, we had a pretty good age grade. Like we were, Scotland notoriously get hammered off England at sort of under 17s, 18s, 20s level, but we ended up having a couple of pretty good wins with the group that we had against England. Who had a pretty strong side at that time as well.
I'm sure there were some household names in those English sides as well.
Yeah, there was. There was like Jack Knoll, I think, Henry Slade, Anthony Watson. The guys like that have done really cool things. So, yeah, that was that.
Mate, that's epic. Tell me about your 1 year in the Sevens circuit. Was Sevens on the radar, or was it more of a bit of a pathway for you into the 15 stuff?
Yeah, it was definitely a pathway. Like, I'm definitely not a Sevens player. Like, I've always been like a bigger kind of guy, like 110 kilos from probably 16, 17 years old. But yeah, I mean, sort of was fortunate to get kind of thrown in at the deep end in that program. Like, I had done a pre-season sort of training with the Glasgow Warriors. So I had a 3-month pre-season with them and then went into the Sevens program in sort of September, October. And fortunately, like, I hadn't trained anywhere near the intensity or the level that Glasgow or the Sevens were playing at. But that pre-season camp that I had done with the Warriors really sort of got me up to speed and got me in good shape where I was sort of fit enough to do okay on the Sevens circuit. So, yeah, I mean, I lost a bit of weight. I was probably down about 100 kilos at that point and sort of played in every tournament for Scotland on the circuit that season. But, yeah, I remember, like, at that point, the Sevens team wasn't training full-time, so I would go and play, like, two tournaments for the Sevens team. So, say we'd go to, like, Hong Kong and Japan, and then we would come back for 3 or 4 weeks, but we'd go back to 15s. So, like, I'd be running around for, like, at that point, it was, like, Stirling County, and it was, like, you know, just coming into that point back home where the pitches just get so wet.
So heavy.
There's so much mud and heavy. So I'd go back there and play, and it would just be a completely different game. And then a month later, I'd be back playing Sevens, and I just felt like as the season progressed, my fitness levels just plummeted because I wasn't training for Sevens. Obviously, everybody knows that they're just two completely different games now. But yeah, it was a great experience because it sort of threw me in the deep end, and I had to learn how to sort of play in front of bigger crowds and got to do a bit of travelling and, you know, learn some good lessons that year. You know, I think some of the most important lessons were learnt from me as a sort of young professional that season. You know, you obviously You know, playing in certain games and stuff against different opposition, and you know, there's a lot of pressured scenarios on the field that you know you've got to kind of rise to, and if you don't, you learn the hard way. So there was many occasions like that, and I think Sevens is such an unforgiving game that it served me well that season. So yeah, I enjoyed it, but I definitely wouldn't be going back to play any more Sevens.
Fair enough, mate. Just quickly, in terms of your time away and travelling, where were some of the best places you travelled to on the circuit?
I really enjoyed New Zealand. The tournament was in Wellington at that time, and like back in 2012, it was just absolutely wild. Like everybody would dress up and they'd be coming along to watch the Sevens, and they'd be, you know, drinking and partying, and I remember just the crowd being absolutely crazy. And obviously being in New Zealand for the first time, and with rugby being such a dominant sport over there, it was pretty cool to see New Zealand and to play in that tournament. Vegas was pretty cool, like being 18 years old and in Vegas, and so yeah, fresh out of school, that was also pretty eye-opening experience. And you know, we done pretty well in that. What was that?
Say no more.
All I'll say is it was an experience being 18 years old and yeah, getting kicked out of some casinos. But you got to chance your arm when you're with the older lads, don't you?
Absolutely, mate. No filters on this podcast as well, mate. So you can say whatever you want. Go for it.
Good.
Hey, mate. Again, just going into sort of your pathway. I'm always eager to hear the experiences of young guys going into professional environments for the first time. Like, how was that for you going into the Glasgow environment, first time professional? Some big names there in the Scottish environment. Did you fall into it pretty easy, or?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I was definitely pretty, like, at times where I was, like, feeling seriously out of my depth. Like, I had only sort of been playing under 18 rugby, which is very different. Even if you go to, like, senior rugby at, you know, club level in Scotland, it's a different ball game to under 18. So, yeah, I almost at that point, I was just probably really ignorant because I was so young to actually what it would take and what it would be like, that I was almost just thrown in blind. And it was a case of sink or swim. I know it sounds quite brutal saying it like that, but you know, there was guys in there at the time, like for me, one of my big idols in rugby growing up was a guy called Johnny Beattie, who played quite a lot of games for Scotland and played for Glasgow. Kind of a year after I had come into the programme at Glasgow, ended up moving over to France. But he was somebody that I can remember going in on that first day and just being like in the same building as him and being on the same rugby field was pretty like mesmerising. I remember being like, man, this is crazy. But the coaches were great. And at that point, the way that the academy was run was that, you know, there was about 12 or 15 young guys and we would just fully be integrated with the pro team. And sort of train with them and do all the weight training and analysis meetings and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I was just a young guy, so I was really quiet and, you know, just sort of went with the flow and was just eager to really learn. And, yeah, it was very much just a case of head down. But, yeah, you definitely, you kind of got to earn the respect of your teammates. And, you know, I think that's such a great thing to learn at a young age when you're going into a team, is that, you know, you go in and you show what you can do and what you're all about, and that's how you gain the respect of the people around you. And I think in any walk of life that's really important, whether that being in sport or off the field. So it was a good time, and yeah, I mean, I had a great sort of 8 years at the club after that. But yeah, excited to move on to new things now, for sure.
Quick question, throwing you on the spot a little bit here, but if you could change one thing about your early experiences or something that you would have done better as a mm-hmm. younger player going into the Glasgow environment, what would have been?
That's a good question, and it is. I might take a bit of thought, this one. Probably, I was going to say, if I could have done it slightly differently, I would probably have been, it's not really a personal thing, but it's more just like that first year that I was with Glasgow, the crossover between sevens and 15s was really, really difficult. And one game didn't really lend into the other. There was just there's so many differences between the game that I found it difficult to sort of slide between one and the other. So maybe just having a little bit more sort of consistency that first year in one game or the other. If it was going to be all sevens, that was fine, or all 15s, but it was the going back and forth that was pretty difficult. And being a young player, I didn't really know that was just the way that it was. Like, I can remember sort of questioning myself quite a lot, thinking, why am I feeling so tired when I go back to sevens? Like, this is weird. Like, you know, what's going on here? So that was quite strange. But yeah, other than that, I'll probably have to have a sort of 10 or 15 minute think about maybe something more personal than that isn't coming to the sort of forefront of my mind just now.
Mate, you're good. We got plenty of time. We can always come back to it. But
yeah,
before we do, obviously, you know, you start getting some consistency around your first grade games with Glasgow in 2014. Mm-hmm. Lucky enough to get the call up to the national team. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, that was I had a couple of injuries in the year after under 20, so that would have been like 2013 into 2014. So I didn't end up playing a mass amount of rugby that season. So there was an opportunity that came up for me to go out to New Zealand and play for 4 months out there. So Scottish Rugby send out two players each season to play in Christchurch, and sort of there's a program that's ran out there. It's basically the Crusaders that run it. And essentially it's called the IHPU, and it stands for like International High Performance Unit. And there's players go from sort of all over the world. Some, you know, there was a Japanese players there. There were some English guys, Irish guys. So me and another guy from Scotland, we went and did that, which was amazing. It sort of gave me the opportunity to sort of get plenty of rugby in that season, and, you know, went and played the club season in Christchurch, which was an amazing opportunity. I think like a completely different style of rugby to what I had been used to, and sort of learnt the ways of the professional game in New Zealand, being in with the sort of Crusaders and Canterbury team. That was really, really fun. And being out there, yeah, I was just loving life. You know, we stayed with a lady who had sort of young kids, so it was kind of like a homestay type thing. And yeah, we had such a good time. That was definitely one of the, although it wasn't like, you know, like what you would call like a big accolade or whatever, I was one of the most enjoyable times I've had in my career, just playing out there, meeting new people, new style of rugby and that type of thing. But what happened was, like, probably 8 or 9 games into the season out there, Scotland were on a summer tour, so I think they played like America, Canada, and then went to Argentina and played South Africa. But I think in the South Africa week, they had a couple of injuries, and there was a couple of players that weren't available to play that week. So unfortunately, I'd been getting some good games under my belt out in New Zealand. So I had got the call up to fly over to Port Elizabeth, where Scotland were playing South Africa that week. So I was like, "Well, what the hell's going on here? This is bizarre. Where has this come from?" So I was just kind of obviously grabbed the opportunity with both hands and was like, "Yeah, let's go." So I headed out and met up with the guys out there. Trained for the week, but there wasn't a hell of a lot of training that happened that week, because a lot of the boys were battered and bruised from the previous 3 games. And yeah, I just was thrown in the deep end, and sort of I started in that game. So that was really my first sort of taste of full international rugby. And it all happened in probably a way that's not the traditional route into international rugby, but you know, I wasn't complaining. I was just absolutely pumped to be involved. So went out and played that game against South Africa. We ended up getting beat by, I think it was like 50 points to 10 or something. Like, they had a pretty exceptional team out in the field that day. And we probably had, you know, a few of our probably first string players, but, you know, a lot of guys that were second, third, fourth choice. So there was a lot of inexperience out there. But it was just an amazing experience to be able to do that And then the next week, I actually flew back to New Zealand and spent the next 3 weeks sort of finishing up the scholarship out there, and then came back to Glasgow. And yeah, the next kind of 2 years were sort of spent at Glasgow, and then also being involved in the Scotland team as well. So yeah, I played sort of I played six caps. So that was a brilliant couple of years being involved in that. And then sort of through 2017, 18, 19, was involved in the sort of camps like Six Nations and Autumn Test camps, but didn't end up playing. So yeah, I mean, it was an amazing experience to represent your country, and I think something that I'll always be proud of, and I'm glad to have said that I've done it.
Mate, that's insane. That first experience, I can imagine that week must have been such a blur. Like, going back to New Zealand after being in South Africa, like, you must have been pinching yourself just having that realization that you actually went through it and got the cap. Because that, I don't think I've ever heard another debut story like that before. That's insane.
It was bizarre. Like, I was going back to New Zealand, and like, my mates back there were like, I was going to go and play for my club team there, and the guys like saying, oh, this guy was playing against the Springboks last week. And you know what they're like. Like, in New Zealand, they're just absolutely crazy about rugby, so they just couldn't believe it. It was like mad, like all these guys were like looking at me as if I'd changed and stuff like that. And I was just like, come back and played three games of club footy, and was just loving it. So yeah, it was bizarre. Like the week did just go like a flash. I remember being so like anxious and like kind of nervous about the whole thing, and was wondering if, you know, if I was going to be able to step up to the level, and was I going to be able to handle it. But you know, I went into that game thinking, you know what, as soon as you get out there, just get ripped in, you know, be hungry to get on the ball, try and impact the game as much as you can. And at the end of the day, you've got nothing to lose. So just absolutely go for it. And yeah, it was definitely a hard game, but I actually really, really enjoyed it. I remember it quite vividly, and played the full 80 minutes. But yeah, I mean, what an introduction to international rugby, playing against the Springboks in a packed out Nelson Mandela based stadium in Port Elizabeth. Quite the experience.
Mate, that's epic. Hey, going back to New Zealand after playing the Springboks in South Africa and playing club footy back down there, must have felt pretty good as well. It would have been slowed things down big time.
Yeah, it was. It was nice to go back, and like, because it all happened so quickly, having to leave New Zealand to go out there and not being sure if I was going to go back, it was nice to go back and sort of just have a bit of time there to finish off the season and to sort of just, yeah, sort of say goodbye before heading back to Scotland. But yeah, I was going to stay out and play some ITM at the time for Canterbury, but Glasgow they had a couple of injuries and stuff, so I had to come back, which was I was kind of a bit gutted about, to be honest, because I would have loved to have stayed and played in New Zealand for a bit longer. But yeah, ended up going back, and sort of it was at that point where I started playing a little bit more consistently for Glasgow. So yeah, it worked out well in the long run.
Yeah, and along the line of playing for Glasgow, at some point in your career you came across a teammate named Grayson Hart.
Yes.
Mutual mate of mine who we've had on the pod as well. And mate, from that, you two have grown what's to be a very, very cool product. So do you want to elaborate maybe on your mate Grayson and what you guys have been up to over the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, the first time I met Grayson was when I flew from New Zealand to South Africa to play for Scotland that week. And I remember getting off the plane, and I arrived a day earlier, but I got off the plane and then went to the hotel, came back to the airport the next day to meet up with the boys. And I just remember seeing Grayson, like, and sort of he just had an energy about him. He was just kind of loud, and you know, was joking and laughing, and he was a bit older than me at that point. I would have been 21, but he was probably 25, 26, and he was kind of just like the heart and soul of the squad, and had a real big personality about him. So I was kind of drawn to him instantly and got to know him a little bit more over that week. But yeah, it was only when he sort of moved to Glasgow, which would have been in about 2015, so it was a couple of years after that, where yeah, we sort of got to know each other a little bit more and shared a lot of similar interests and became pretty good friends. And you know, it was kind of in 2017 where we sort of put our heads together and had the idea of sort of launching a CBD company, which sort of came off the back of and you probably know Grayson quite well, but we're both like very open-minded people and, you know, probably quite experimental as well in the sense that, you know, we're very open to new things. And if there's, you know, things that are going to help with recovery or sort of change your perspective on things, then we're very open to that. And I think that that sort of thing that we both had about ourselves led us to trying CBD oil and realizing that, you know, there wasn't really a safe product or brand out there for athletes to use. And that kind of came off the back of us being told off our club that they didn't want us using the stuff that we were using. So we came up with the idea.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah. We came up with the idea of sort of launching our own business and doing things slightly differently to try and make the safest CBD products in the world. So we had sort of big mission statement. We started small and we just really built the company from the ground up, and it's now in a place where things are going really well. Grayson's actually retired now from rugby and he's pretty much leading things back home. So we've got a team of about 10 people back in the UK who are heading up things. I'm obviously still playing professional rugby, but still an owner of the company and director, but just sort of overseeing the bigger things, whereas he's very much involved in the day-to-day running of the business and is doing a great job. So yeah, we're in a great place, but it's exciting times, and I think you know, we're always looking to try and evolve and develop things, and we've got a great people behind us in the UK and hopefully that'd be great.
Mate, I'm so sorry. You just cut out a little bit there on the back end of it. But, yeah, definitely excited to hear that Pure Sports is absolutely rocking at the moment. I mean, what you guys are putting out at the moment with your products and everything's pretty awesome. So what sort of plans for the future and maybe growth into the US market potentially?
Yeah, for sure. You know, things are, in terms of, where we're actually shipping and selling product at the moment, we are literally shipping worldwide. But I mean, the majority of our sales are sort of in Europe and in the UK. So yeah, we'd love to develop business out here. You know, part of what I'm going to be doing is sort of looking to network and develop the sort of, yeah, the people that we know here in LA and sort of get to know as many people as possible and then see where that leads to. But yeah, there could be some quite exciting stuff coming out over the next month around some stuff that we're doing in the US. Nothing 100% confirmed yet, but I will share more on that when I can.
Yeah, of course. Mate, I want to go back to the start a little bit on this CBD stuff, because the stigma of rugby and I guess the old school approach to it that you and Grayson sort of had a lot of kickback on when you were first trying to develop it. Like, how frustrating was that just to just find those challenges and those barriers from people that you probably assumed would have supported you?
That was difficult. Fortunately, when that sort of happened, so essentially to lay it out, Grayson and I launched the company. 6 months after we launched the company, Grayson left the club to go down and play in England at another club. But I was still at the Glasgow Warriors at that point. But yeah, once the Warriors and sort of Scottish Rugby had realised that we were doing what we were doing, we were making CBD products and having them tested for banned substances in sport, they sort of came out with a statement and added it into their addictive behaviours policy, that players within Scottish rugby who were under contract could not promote or be involved in or be working to do with anything to do with CBD. So that put me in a position where I wasn't able to do it. You know, I wasn't able to really play much of a part in the company. I had to sort of keep my head down and make sure that I wasn't being seen to do anything publicly, which was difficult because that really ran on for the next year and a half until my contract finished. And, you know, we did try and push a little bit to to try and ease the policy and ease the restrictions that they had around that, but it didn't happen. So Grayson was very much sort of left on his own for a while to really have to be the face of the brand and push things publicly. Fortunately, that's not the case now, and we can kind of push on and do what we're doing. But yeah, it was hard. You know, I would have personally have liked to see a little bit more support from the team at that point, and especially when, you know, the crazy thing was that probably 60 or 70% of the guys in the team were using it, but we weren't allowed to have any of the products on the premises or even take the products to away games, even though they were perfectly safe and they were as safe as any product or health supplement on the market. We just had to do it very, very discreetly. So it was a shame, but, you know, it's just one of those things where I think they were probably looking to sort of protect themselves if the worst case scenario happened, which obviously hasn't and won't because of the way that we're doing things.
Well, I mean, is that the explanation that they gave you? Did you ever hear from them specifically as to why that they came out with this?
Yeah,
stance?
I mean, I think it was, to be honest, I think a little bit of it came from ignorance, to be honest. Like, we knew that what we were doing and where we were getting our products tested was to the highest degree in the world. Like, there's no other place or company that could test the products to the degree that we were getting them tested to. So if a sports team can allow their athletes to use vitamin C or omega-3 fish oils that have been tested for all banned substances in sport, why can't these athletes use CBD oil that's been tested to the same level? That's just the question that we asked. And yeah, basically the answer that we got back was just that they weren't comfortable with it. And that was kind of the way that things were, and there was no budging. You know, it was very much like, you know that's it. This is kind of, we're not going to be taking any more questions on this. That's move on, and you know, you've got to just kind of behave.
with the success that you guys have had since then, has there been any I guess sort of like them stepping down on their stance or sort of open to bring
nothing at all, not that I'm aware of. As far as I know, that the policy still stands as it is and there's not any changes that have been made. So
even though you know for a fact that a handful of players, if not more, swear by the product.
Oh yeah,
themselves.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, I mean, that there'll be a lot of rugby players in the UK that are using the Pure Sport products or other brands that may be similar. Some might not even be tested to the same degree that we're doing, but that there's been a shift that's happened, I think, in the last year or two within UK sport when it comes to CBD products. People are a lot more, and I think a lot of it's come down to, and not to kind of blow our own trumpet, but a big part of what we've tried to do is to educate people on really what it is that we are doing and how and why the products are okay for people to use if they want to. So there's been a change there. Obviously, I think here in the US, from what I've gathered, you know, that shift or change probably happened 4 or 5 years ago. And things are sort of a little bit more developed here. But there was probably 60 to 70% of the guys in the Warriors team who were using the product and were seeing some really good benefits. Like, the main things were sort of sleep improvement, feeling calmer, less anxious throughout the day, and certainly with the topical products like the BAMs, a lot of guys were using those on their knees, ankles, elbows, shoulders, and just sort of really, we're rating them. So yeah, it's just, it was a bit of a crazy situation, but yeah, I think we're just feeling fortunate now to have sort of come through that and to be in sort of freer circumstances now.
Yeah, that's great, mate. So I guess my next question is, was this a welcoming gift for all your new teammates at the Giltinis then with Pure Sports products that you're bringing over, or what?
Not quite. I mean, I had to be quite tight with my packing, so fair. I wasn't able to pack a suitcase of CBD. I did bring some products that the guys who were in Bermuda, so there was like five of us who who were there, and I was kind enough to hand them some freebies out. But yeah, I pretty much ran out, and I'm about to get a whole bunch of other products sent over here, and the Giltini's boys can make good use of those as well. So yeah, we're trying to make sure that the guys here can sort of make use of the supplements and products to sort of help accelerate recovery and stuff like that. So I'm speaking to the S&C coach a fair bit here, and he's all for it. Obviously, as long as the products are tested, he's happy. And if the guys want to use it, they can. So yeah, should be soon.
Mate, that's great. So again, just going back to your time in the States, you went straight from Bermuda to Hawaii, or did you stop over in LA beforehand?
Yeah, we stopped over in LA for a few days.
Yep.
And we sort of, we got through all of our medicals and that type of thing and picked up our kit and then went out to Hawaii from there.
Mate, in terms of pre-season training camps, doesn't get much better than that. 4 weeks in Hawaii, new squad, good bunch of blokes. Like, how's that experience over there? Just talk about the off-field as the on-field.
Yeah, well, sort of prior to that, like we sort of, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks before we flew out to LA, there was sort of three options up in the air. We're like, we know we need to go somewhere for pre-season because we can't stay in LA. So like the options were like, basically come to the place that we're in now, which is Oxnard, 60 miles north of LA. We go to Hawaii or we can go to Utah. So the coaches are sort of running this by the players and asking for a bit of feedback on where we should go. And I think everybody was sitting with their fingers crossed, hoping that Hawaii was the place that came out. And fortunately, it was the place that we ended up going to. So everybody was really happy with that. And yeah, we managed to get pretty much everybody over there. There was probably two or three guys that didn't manage to get to Hawaii just because waiting on visas and that type of thing. But yeah, it was unreal. It took a bit of time to sort of find our feet out there because there's not that much rugby going on, in the sense that trying to find a training field was difficult. There was a couple of fields that we sort of got kicked off and, you know, people weren't happy with us using them. But we ended up finding a polo club. So they had this massive, big field, probably the size of about 3 or 4 rugby fields, but it was very much like on a ranch, on a farm.
Yeah.
So we just trained there. And we got through plenty of good work. Your typical sort of pre-season training schedule where you're training hard Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, training hard Thursday, Friday, and then the weekend was very much ours. So the boys were keen to get out and explore some of the islands. There's some beautiful waterfalls and really kind of nice like rainforests and stuff like that, volcanoes. So a lot of the guys got out and about, but yeah, we had a good time. Because there's not much COVID going on over there, we were lucky enough to be able to go out and, you know, get involved in some of the nightlife and enjoy ourselves at a few of the bars and that type of thing. So yeah, now that we're sort of back in LA, a lot of that stuff's been sort of cut down. We can't do that. We've got a kind of team COVID protocol that we're all following. So it was good to be able to do that and sort of get all the guys bonding together and having a good time and making some good memories just before the season started.
Mate, you'll get no sympathy from me whatsoever.
I know. You're freezing your balls off over there.
Yeah. Mate, we spent the first 2 weeks of pre-season shoveling snow off our field. So I'm glad you're back to a bit of reality. Good. Mate, talk to me about pulling a new team together, new players, new coaches, new program. Like, how's that experience been for you personally?
It's been, it's been different. I've certainly not experienced it before. And, you know, I think for the team managers and the coaching staff, it's probably been pretty stressful. And I think, you know, probably for a lot of the players as well, there's a lot of stress that's come into it as well because, you know, and I'm sure it's very much the same at other teams too. I think just with everything COVID going on and not really knowing what's been happening in terms of when the league's going to start, if it's going to start, you know, there's a lot of guys that I think of, you know, when you've got a new team in sport, there's obviously things that can go wrong in terms of, you know, I think there's probably quite a high rate of sort of teams falling through and not kind of making it through the first year due to X, Y, and Z. So I think a lot of the guys that have come here have kind of taken somewhat of a risk and, you know, maybe could have chosen an easier option in terms of where they might have been playing the rugby. But yeah, there's been a bit of stress and sort of all the organisational stuff, logistics and getting everybody here, even to get us out of the UK was really difficult because we had to go elsewhere to do our visa processing because the UK was pretty much in complete shutdown and they weren't processing any appointments at the embassy. So yeah, just things like that they've been difficult. But you know, I think we've got a great group of management who have sort of taken a lot of that stress upon themselves to make sure that we get guys here. And we're fortunate enough to be able to go to the likes of Hawaii and to come up here to Oxnard, where we're able to get some good training done and to not have to be overly concerned about the likes of COVID. So, you know, there's been some stress, but I think at the end, it's all sort of, and we're not at the end, we're very much just at the start now, but you know, when I say the end, we're sort of the end point of arriving here. It's certainly all been worth it in the sense that we got to have a great time over in Hawaii and sort of we've been really fortunate that our preparations for the season have went pretty smoothly considering the climate that we live in. So, yeah, it's a new experience, but I think everybody's just sort of bought in pretty well and it's all kind of kicking off now with games and stuff, so we're now at the point where everybody's really excited and just raring to go,
mate. 100%. Who are some of the boys in the squad that you've sort of lent on or become closer to in your time since you've been there?
So I mean, obviously going to Bermuda for 2 weeks and spending time with some of the Irish boys, that was good to get to know them. And, you know, we had plenty of time to get to know each other, I guess. So those lads are good. Sean McNulty, Harry McNulty, Luke Carty, and Glenn Bryce was there as well. Obviously, I played with Glenn Bryce at the Warriors a fair bit, so I know him pretty well. But we've got a big contingent of Aussie players here and Aussie coaches. So it's been good getting to know those guys.
Is that
they enjoy a good time.
Is that your first experience with Aussies?
Oh no, I've known quite a few Aussies over the years. Very similar to the Scots in the sense that enjoy a good time. You're an Aussie, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Enjoy a good time and friendly and quite outgoing. So yeah, I've enjoyed getting to know those lads. And we've got a really good group of American based players here as well. Yeah. Managed to get a bunch of guys from Colorado and a few guys that have sort of dotted all over the place, to be honest. But one of the guys that was good to see actually was Langy, who I played with in Glasgow back in 2016. He spent a bit of time at Glasgow before coming back here. I think it was about 6 months he was over there. But good to see him again and see him sort of thriving and. He's an absolute animal on the field.
Is he still doing it?
Oh, geez, yeah, he's still doing it. He's a hard hitter. We played an internal trial game a couple of weeks ago, and about 2 minutes into the game, we turned the ball over, and it sort of came trickling out the other team's the side of the ruck. Like it came just coming outside the ruck. So scrum half picked the ball up, passed it to Langy. And Langy literally charged at me and another back row player, Angus Cottrell. And I think both of us were shitting ourselves for a split second. We literally just dipped our heads and just done our best to try and stop him. But man, that guy, he's so powerful. He's just a freak athlete.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's in my team and not having to play against him. You'll have to, so sorry about that.
Yeah, mate. crazy story about Langy. I played with him the year prior to him going over to Glasgow when uh-huh. the US had the original Pro League competition. And uh-huh. It's insane. Within 3 weeks, he went from coming and doing a trial with Sacramento, which is the team that we were playing for, to starting for Sacramento that same weekend. USA Rugby were in Sacramento playing Russia the following week. and we did an internal scrimmage against them or training session. Same thing. He just absolutely monstered all the US national guys, got called into the US squad, then got put on the bench and then got man of the match that same week. And then from that, it was just like the fucking story of Langi Langi Hakapui. So, mate, that guy's...
Yeah, he's an animal, man. He's a talent. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he goes this year. But, you know, I think he's certainly one to be watching out for.
Yeah, so, does that mean that you and him are sort of head-to-head for the number 8 jersey? Or?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
You're in the worst position.
Yeah. No, he's sort of playing. He can play 8 or 6 and I can play 8 or 6. So, yeah, we're definitely sort of competing with each other. But he's got a really good attitude, Lange. Like, he's one of these guys that he's competitive and he wants to do extremely well. But he's all about sort of pushing, you know, his competition to make sure that regardless of who's playing, the team's in the best place to win. And that sort of part of his attitude's really shone through. And something that a lot of people have really noticed over the last sort of month or two. So, yeah, whoever takes the field, you know, we'll do a good job, I'm sure. So it's going to be fun competing with him, and I've enjoyed getting to know him a little bit more. And, you know, it's been good to see him sort of here, because I think when he was in Glasgow, he's probably a bit less settled and sort of not used to being away from home. And I think his kids were over here and his partner couldn't be there. So it's good to see him in an environment where he is sort of, he's more used to being in this space with his kids here and obviously living in the US. So he's definitely more settled, which is good to see. And you can see that really sort of coming through in the way that he's playing and showing up.
Yeah, that's only going to make him an even better player this year. So that's awesome to see. Mate, you mentioned the Aussie players in and amongst the squad at the moment. Obviously, some late big signings to the Giltinis. How's Gits and AAC been going in and around the squad since they've arrived?
Oh, they've been great. You know, the first sort of few days when they came in, the first week, where, you know, you could sort of see that they're making a real big effort to just get to know as many people as possible. And, you know, they didn't do a whole load of talking, but they sort of seemed to do a whole load of listening. So I think their sort of emphasis was on just getting to know guys as much as possible. And yeah, we're fortunate to have these guys here. Like, the experience that they've got between the two of them, and they're used to playing with each other as well, which is an interesting thing to see and sort of pick apart and look at. You know, they bounce off each other very well, in the sense that obviously Gittle runs a lot of the attack playing 10, but Adam Ashley Cooper is one of our defensive leaders in the team here. So there's a lot of interaction between the two of them. You know, Matt Gittle will run a play and he'll sort of go up to Adam Ashley Cooper and he'll say, "How did you feel when you defended that? Did you feel like uncomfortable? Did you feel like we were manipulating you pretty well? Were you caught back on your heels?" That type of thing. And they've got a really good sort of dynamic relationship that goes on between the two of them, which is great to see. And I think a lot of the sort of younger players pick up on that and can learn a lot from that. But they've been great. You know, they're settling in, and we've obviously got Dave Dennis here as well, who's,
he's a legend.
You know, he's just he's a legend. He's been awesome to get to know. And, you know, he's a really, really driven bloke, and he's going to be our captain this season. And yeah, he's really added a lot to the camp since he's come in. So yeah, looking forward to playing with all three of these guys, and I'm sure they'll contribute a lot on and off the field.
Mate, 100%. I've got to get this from you. You gave me a quick little note prior to this that there's a certain nickname between you, Gits, potentially, that you want to elaborate on for us?
Yeah, so I've got a new nickname since I've been here, actually. So within the first couple of days of being here, obviously, well, those guys arrived and I had been here for a couple of weeks, and, you know, I started getting to know them, and, you know, like, my name's Adam Ash, and then Adam Ash the Cooper was there, and Matt Gittle was sort of like, "Oh, you've pretty much got the same name, but only you've got half of Adam Ash the Cooper's name, so we're gonna nickname you Discount." So my nickname's now Discount in the squad. Well, it's not really caught on with anyone else yet, but Matt Gittle seems to be calling me at every training session, so that's that. I guess I have literally got half of Adam Ashley Cooper's name, so it's quite a good fit.
Mate, that's hilarious. I think that's going to confuse quite a few of the local commentators as well throughout the season. So,
yeah, it definitely will.
That's so good. Well, mate, we might look to wrap things up pretty soon. But before we do, maybe just give us, I mean, you've touched on Langy and what he's going to bring to the table, and obviously the three big names from Aussie. But is there one or two players maybe from the Giltinis that you think might have a bit of an impact that would probably guys aren't on the radar yet, or what have you been seeing?
Angus Cottrell, who is Australian lad, super rugby player, he's looked really good in sort of the warm-up games that we've played. There's a scrum half here called Christian Rodriguez, who's a local lad from LA. He's a scrum half slash wing, but you know, this is a guy, he's extremely passionate about rugby. He's a young guy, and he's, from what I can see so far, he's a really, really talented player. So I think he'll do very well this season. We've got JP Smith, who's here at the moment, who's obviously a big prop, big South African prop. He's been a bit of a standout as well. He's a great scrummager, but he's also a really good player on the loose. So I think he'll do well for us. But yeah, I mean, obviously known guys from Glasgow as well. Two really, really good players. Both got a bit of X factor about them. DTH played very well against Austin on the weekend. And Glenn Bryce is like, he left Glasgow and he was in the form of his career. Glasgow would have been absolutely sickened to see him go, but fortunately he's here. He's somebody who's got some really good footwork and he's got good pace and solid under the high ball. So I think he'll be one to watch out for as well. Here and I think we should make for some exciting attacking rugby.
Mate, 100%. And then final question, did you ever think that the LA Coliseum would be your home ground for hosting rugby matches?
Absolutely not. We went there on Tuesday for the first time. We did our training session there and got a little bit of a tour. But, that is definitely the coolest stadium that I've ever been in my life. Like, I've been to, like, you know, like all sorts of different stadiums, played in Murrayfield, played in South Africa, etc. But this place is unbelievable. We were actually talking about it, like, between, like, some of the boys the other day. So, you know, like, teams that come and play us at home are just going to be pumped to obviously play in the Coliseum because there's just a massive amount of excitement for this weekend. Obviously, the views from up at the sort of top level of the stadium are unbelievable. You can see the full city of LA. You can see the coast. You can see the city. You can see the Hollywood sign. It's some place, and obviously there's been a crazy amount of sport and history that's been through there in the last 100 years. So, yeah, we spoke to the GM. He sort of gave us a little chat when we came in, and he said that there was rugby that was played there in the 1930s and 40s, but since then they haven't had any rugby played there at all. So,
wow,
it's been a bit of a dream of his to get rugby back in, and fortunately we've managed to do that. And yeah, they're just as excited as us to get rugby back out there. And yeah, what a place to call our new home.
100%, mate. I think there's a lot of clubs around the competition looking at you guys with extreme envy about that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we've got you guys away.
Yeah, you're in New York. You're in New York.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
Yeah, well, there you go. Maybe there should be like a double header rivalry between the two big cities.
Yeah, I think so. I'd be keen for that. A home and away trip. That'd suit both teams, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, it's been awesome. Thank you so much. I know there's been a lot of back and forth between the two of us and just trying to find time to make this happen. I certainly appreciate it, mate. And obviously, best luck for the season. And when we do cross paths down the track, looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me on, Harry. And looking forward to seeing you at some point a little bit later on in the season.
Absolutely. Mate, all the best for the weekend.
Okay. Cheers, bro. You too.
Take it easy. Bye.
Bye-bye.